Just one interesting, there's many, but one I wanted to point out. Paul is arguing there in Antioch of Pisidia. He's giving this, he's preaching the gospel. And he comes then to the last part. But God promised our fathers he has brought to fulfillment for us, their children, by raising up Jesus, as it is written in the second Psalm. You are my son, this day I have begotten you. Is that a proof of the... What does that mean? You see, this is where, as we acquire greater knowledge of the scriptures, by studying them every day, you know? Anyway, this psalm, Psalm 2, is an enthronement psalm. And in a certain part in the ceremony, the king, who's now going to be putting, you know, put on the throne, then they're reciting this psalm, and the king says, the Lord said to me, you are my son, this day I have begotten you. And one of the high priests said, thus says the Lord, you are my son, I have begotten you. Because at that moment, he enters upon his kingly authority and becomes son of God in a very particular and special way. Well, who was enthroned in a particular way? Jesus. That psalm, which is quoted very frequently in the New Testament, what does it really stand for? It stands for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because that's the one who's put on the throne forever. There will never be anybody to replace him. He is the king. And he was made the king of all creation by the resurrection. And that's why when you hear that, you might have been, did you notice it? Did you see? What's that got to do with raising from the dead? He raised him from the dead, as it says in Psalm 2. Does it say that in Psalm 2? Yes, it does. See, that's an enthronement psalm. And it's that line from Psalm 2 is one of the foundational texts. But you see how you have to read them in the light of Christ. Other kings were installed and they reigned and then they died. But there will be one son of David coming who will rule forever. Now, does the forever mean forever? You know, that's Semitic speech, you know, ulam, forever. It means forever. Now that it's happened, we know that it's for real. It's not just a rhetorical phrase. He'll rule a long time, ulam. No, he'll rule forever. And that's the way God works. That's the way. You see, he makes good in a transcendent way of what he promises. And when it happens, then the Holy Spirit, or maybe Jesus, who spent a lot of time forming his disciples, we have examples of it, where he argues from the law and the prophets and the Psalms about himself. Maybe he pointed that out to them. In any case, we are now starting, as we get ready for Pentecost, we've read all the texts, and now we're going to be reading our Lord's words. We have it right now in chapter 14, the very first six verses. Don't let your hearts get troubled. You believe in God? Believe in me? I'm his eternal co-equal son. Believe in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If there were not, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? But his Father's house is what? It's the temple, isn't it? Stop making my Father's house a den of thieves. And then, you know, they challenge him and he says, raise up I will raise it up in 3 days. He is the Father's house. And in Him, there is room for all of us. We're in Christ, okay? If that were not the case, would I have told you that I'm going to get a place ready for you? And then I'll come back and I'll take you to myself. So that where I am, you also may be. That's the deepest desire of the heart of the Lord. To have us with Him forever. That's what drove Him with love to the cross. You will be with me forever. That's how much I love you. And so, Thomas, usually, well, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus says, Thomas, look at me. I'm the way. I'm the way. If you are in me, you are in the way. You are on the way to be joined to me for all eternity in an unbreakable bond. You never have to give it a second thought. It will never end. And I'm the truth. I am the revelation of the Father. And I'm the life. Even in this life, Thomas, you can live by me. That's the whole point of the Eucharist. That my life can take over your life. A friend of mine once did, for his doctorate, he did a study on the mystical marriage, that final transforming union. And he pointed out, and he discovered, it always takes place at the Eucharist. That final moment always takes place at the Eucharist. Because that's the mystical marriage. I'm your life. I'm your life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. Now, we've seen this before, right? He who sees me sees the Father. Isn't that beautiful? So how do we see Jesus? He told us. The one who loves me, will keep my commandments. All the ones you can read in the book and all the ones I have in your heart. What do I want of you today? Do you need to be reconciled someplace? Do it. Today, my blessed Spirit will guide you. And if you will listen to Him, you'll go to sleep tonight closer to my Father than you were when you woke up. That's a guarantee. And so, you see, He's the truth because He reveals the Father. And He's our life. Christ, our life. You see how these texts and the way the church is using them are getting us ready for the Holy Spirit to come. And we should be praying pretty soon after we have the Ascension. Though if you want to do the whole novena, you got to start before the Ascension, because we push the Ascension off to Sunday, because nobody can take Thursday off to work, from work. Back in old Russia, before the communists and all that, there were something like 140 feast days every year. They were great for liturgy. They weren't so heavy into work, but they were great for liturgy. And then the communists came and ruined all that, and see what turns out. But if you want to go meet the Father, just come to me. I'll take you to Him.